of the Believer's Authority. And our main text is Luke chapter 10. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. If you do not have a Bible, you need one. I want to show you something. My Bible is the same Bible I went to Bible school with. And I just want you to kind of look, see if you can kind of see this, the pages in here. Can you guess where the New Testament is? Can you kind of see that dark stripe on those pages? That's the New Testament. That's Matthew through Revelation right there. Because we're using this. This is my friend. This is we get to know your Bible. Spend some time with it. I know where verses are kind of by, you know, I open the Bible up and that verse is kind of in the top left. And this verse is sort of in the lower right. You know them locationally. And so you have familiarity with your Bible that way. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 through 20. It says, but rather rejoice, but rejoice, but rejoice as a command. It's not like, but when you rejoice in that final day, in the sweet by and by. No, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Christians should be happy. Christians should be rejoicing. Christians should be. Now, why not? Why do Christians sometimes just seem very, very serious and very concerned and very responsible? Well, our responsibility is to respond to His ability. Our responsibility is to take all the yuck that's down here and give it to Him. All your problems we are to cast our cares on Him. Cast all our cares on Him. And if we've casted all our cares on Him, we don't have them anymore. If you're and when you don't have them anymore, they're all on Him. Doesn't mean all your bills are paid. Doesn't mean all the pain went away necessarily. But it just says that you have put the responsibility on Him. And it's not your responsibility anymore. It's for Him to deal with. Should my son worry about paying the bills at our house? Would it be wrong for him to worry about paying the bills at our house? Absolutely. It's not his responsibility. Mine, right? So, in the same way, should you be worried about healing? You can't heal yourself. You can't do that. Our responsibility is to give it to him. He can do it. God can do healing. God can do miracles. We don't do the miracles. But if we'll give them over to him, he'll do them. About sowing and reaping. You know, if we'll sow, then the responsibility is completely on him. If we're givers, and if we're giving the way we're supposed to, then the responsibility is on him. And then we're just expecting. We're just expecting to receive. Works. Rejoicing is normative. Rejoicing is what we do. And if you can't rejoice, then it's because you're still holding on to the stuff. And you haven't cast your cares upon the Lord. You've been given authority. You've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you. But rejoice. Your names are written in heaven. You're on your way to heaven. And you're going to have a little bit of it here on the earth on the way. So, in the last we talked about how Jesus first demonstrated, then delegated his authority first to the 12, then to the 70, and then to everybody, then to the whole church. So if Jesus just wanted us to pray to God to do the miracles, and if Jesus just, you know, inaugurated the new covenant, inaugurated the New Testament by showing us his power, he wouldn't have given it to the 12. He wouldn't have given it to the 70. He wouldn't have then given it to the whole church. If it was just to kick off the New Testament era, then why did he give it to the disciples? He was showing the disciples. He was only here for 3 years. He was only in ministry for 33, but he was only in ministry for 3. That 3 is not enough. What he's done is he's modeled and then kicked it off. He's launched it. The same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that has now been given to the church. Jesus modeled the ministry. He modeled the ministry, and then he gave us the very same ministry. That's the ministry that you and I have today. And so let's look in the Gospel of John, and we're going to look more at the delegated ministry that Jesus received and how he used delegated authority, that he was working in under his Father's delegated authority, and then he delegates that same authority to the church. So we're looking at the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Gospel of John, fourth book, New Testament, chapter 1, verse 10. He, capital H, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Who's him? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in the cross. Is that what it says? To those who believe in Jesus. It actually doesn't even say that. It says, to those who believe what? In his name. It's interesting that's the phrase that's used there. Those who believe what? Every Bible should say it. In his name. So underline that, if you would, in your Bible. Because that's what it says here, that the children of God are those who believe in his name. And we're going to find out more of what that means. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Chapter 2, verse 23. John chapter 2, 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. It's interesting that he's just bringing out this phrase, in his name. Very important phrase here. John 3:16. Anybody know that verse? You should. Okay, John 3:16, turn there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed, what? In the name. In the name. In the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so, interestingly, you go to hell if you don't believe in this name. In this name. In this name. The ticket to heaven, the ticket to hell, is believing or not believing in this name. John chapter 5, verse 41. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. Let's back up here. I have come in my Father's name. Remember, what we're talking about here is delegated authority. Jesus didn't say, I'm Jesus, and I can do anything I want. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I'm Jesus, and I only have power because I've come in my Father's name. I'm here because I've come in my Father's name. I'm coming here as one under authority. I've come in delegated authority. Dad sent me. That's why I have power. God sent me. Jesus operated in delegated authority. What does that mean? If Jesus operated in delegated authority, it means that you and I can as well. Jesus operated in delegated authority, so you and I do too. Brings up an important theological principle. And that principle is this, that Jesus did no miracles. Jesus did no miracles before he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to earth as a man. Jesus emptied himself of his divinity and came to earth as a man. operated as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. It's really important that you understand that, that he was 100% man, yet he was 100% God. But on the earth, he came here as just like you and I. And that's why in high school, he didn't do any miracles at the prom. He didn't do any miracles in sports or at work or anything like that. He didn't do any miracles until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was operating in the same way that you and I operate. If he came to earth as God and defeated the devil and lived a sinless life because he's God and can't be tempted, what good is that? It doesn't help us. It's not the same victory. But isn't it a much more powerful victory that he won because he was 100% man, tempted in all points as you and I are, and yet without sin? See how that works? Okay, so it's very important that you see that. So Jesus comes in delegated authority, John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. But how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how are you going to believe my words? He's getting on them here, saying you guys just keep congratulating each other and having banquets for each other, and it's all about your standing in your own little community. And he says, no, it's how you stand before God. That's what counts. John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. How did Jesus do things? Did them in his Father's name. Delegated authority. Two chapters further ahead, John chapter 12, 28. Jesus is praying, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus is here to bring glory to his Father. And by doing these miracles in his Father's name, he's giving glory to his Father. When we do miracles in Jesus' name, who gets the glory? Jesus does. One minister said there'd be a lot more miracles if people didn't care who got the glory. You know, a lot of times people are trying to, you know, look at me, but no, it's to give glory to God. John chapter 14 and verse 14. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So now Jesus is saying that I've been doing everything that I do in my Father's name. And now I'm about to go to the Father. And now, if you'll use my name, it will work for you. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, who do we ask? We're asking the Father. Important principle also. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to Mary or any of the saints. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how it's done. When I was a young Christian, there was a friend of ours who was an even younger Christian, and she would cover all her bases. Holy Father, Holy Spirit, Holy Jesus, I ask in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And she would just sort of cover the waterfront in all her prayers. And I was getting confused. I'm thinking, maybe I'm missing it. You know, maybe I need to pray a little broader like that, you know, and Make sure I cover all the bases. But the Bible says this. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Right? Simple, but important. John 14:26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. How? Say it loud. In my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Holy Spirit comes in the name of Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now that's an encouraging verse right there. There's a lot of reason to rejoice right there. We rejoice because we have information. The more information you have, the more you want to rejoice. This is a verse that is information for rejoicing. John 15 and verse 16 and 17. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus is saying that I picked you out. I picked you out. You're here because I chose you. You're here because I've got a plan for your life. You're here because I chose you to be here. Hallelujah. And I appointed you that you're going to be fruit-bearing Christians, that you're not going to be just, I was on earth for 60, 70 years, 80 years, and I was there. Not much happened, but I was there, and somewhere along the line, I got saved, and now I've just got a little cabin in the corner of Glory Lane. And I've just got that. That's all I have. But no, we're supposed to bear fruit. I've chosen you that you should bear fruit, that you should get people saved, that you should pray for the sick, that you should cast out demons, that you should do stuff, that you should help the poor, that you should just fill up heaven with your treasure here on earth, with the things that you're doing here on the earth. You are just loading up stuff in heaven, just throwing stuff up there, just getting tons of stuff up there, because we're going to be there for eternity. We're here for less than 100 years, but we're there for eternity. Where do you want your IRA? Where do you want your 401k? Where do you want your treasure? In eternity. In eternity. So one of the great keys to getting stuff into eternity is knowing what the keys are to doing stuff here on the earth. Becoming effective in prayer. Becoming effective for God. And using the name of Jesus. And using it boldly. Over and over and over again. And even if you don't see anything happen, use the name of Jesus. Come on. Because it does work. This friend of mine's mom had a bad knee. I was just ornery, and I said, "Can I pray for your knee?" And she looked at me like, "What are you talking about? You know, I've been to good doctors, and I know what the story is here about my knee, and I know da 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 da." And she's kind of offended about the whole thing. "What do you mean? You know?" And so I said, "No, I'd like to pray for your knee." She just sort of kind of whatever. All right, kind of grudgingly. Let me pray for her knee. And I did, and nothing seemed to happen. And the next day, she told my friend, "See, nothing happened. See, nothing happened." She was proud about it. She was glad that nothing happened. But about a year later, she said, "That knee, on its own, got better." Joints don't do that, you know, especially knees and older people. But her knee got better. And she, "Tell Brad. Tell Brad, thank you." Got healed in spite of herself. "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly," I'm sorry, John 16:23. "And in that day you will ask me nothing." In other words, we're not to pray to Jesus. "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Another really important doctrinal point here is that Jesus is now telling us how to pray. He's telling us to pray in His name. If you don't get this, then you're going to be stuck with the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is a great prayer, but where does it say in my name? Where does it say in Jesus' name? It's not in there. And so it's interesting that the Apostle Paul didn't go around teaching the Lord's Prayer. That the Apostle Peter didn't say, now, in the book of Acts, my new converted disciples, all you people in Damascus, here's the Lord's Prayer. It's not in there. It's not in any of the other books that the apostles went around teaching the Lord's Prayer. It sounds almost blasphemous, doesn't it?
You're supposed to.
Well, the Lord's Prayer is a great prayer. It's a great prayer model. And it's a great way, it's a really, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Starts off with praise. I use it as a good way to do my devotions. And I begin with praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then I begin praising God. But I'm praising Him in Jesus' name. And I'm glorifying Him in Jesus' name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're praying for God's will to be done. And may your will be done in politics. May your will be done in government. May your will be done in my life and in my family. May your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And so we work through the whole Lord's Prayer, but you're praying it in Jesus' name. When Jesus taught that prayer, He actually, theologically, was working as an Old Testament prophet. He was still, they call it the intertestamentary time. The Old Testament is being completed and fulfilled. The New Testament is being inaugurated. And Jesus is operating as an Old Testament prophet, teaching us to pray. As He's about to complete His mission, as He's about to go to the cross, and just before He goes to the cross, is when He tells us about praying in His name. And then all of the gospel, then all of the epistles begin to tell us what happened at the cross and begin to explain to us what took place at the cross and what Jesus bought and what Jesus accomplished at the cross. He didn't tell us all of that this side of the cross. The gospel, or the Bible, the whole Bible, is progressive revelation. It's moving. It's moving forward. And you can't pick and choose parts of it. You have to see it as it progresses and undertake it. Take it in the full New Testament, Jesus ascended, Jesus risen and glorified and seated at the right hand of God. That's where we are today, with the Holy Spirit here on the earth, given power to the church, that the church now has authority. That's where we are today. And be careful when some people sometimes will begin just teaching completely out of the Old Testament and then draw a conclusion completely on the Old Testament without any New Testament revelation, and they make mistakes. How about dietary laws? The Maker's Diet and all this kind of stuff where you just go all, stay completely in the Old Testament, don't take any New Testament revelation, and then build a whole scheme just on the Old Testament. Make a mistake. So be careful with that. And certain religion, or certain denominations, Seventh-day Adventists really make a mistake about that. They get real caught up in Old Testament stuff, not seeing all the truth in the New Testament, and just take the whole Bible on the same plane. And it doesn't work that way. Progressive revelation. You need to live this side of the cross. You need to live in the epistles. And that's where our revelation is. That's where we are today. Alrighty. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested your name. Your name. Your name. Name, name, name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you, for they have believed that you sent me. Again, Jesus is talking about His delegated mission from the Father. John 17, verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name." How did Jesus protect the disciples? Through the name of his Father. How do you protect your family? Through the name of Jesus. You claim protection. In the name of Jesus, Aaron Talavera is going to be in church, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. After, isn't that awesome? We have kept him through the name. And he got all kinds of extra medals because he went out and volunteered and did a lot of stuff that nobody else would do. And he's been kept in the name. In the name. Hallelujah. John 17, verse 26. "And I have declared them, I've declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." John 20, 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." It's all about using the name. I have a badge because I'm a chaplain with the sheriff's department that has my picture on it, and then it says sheriff right underneath it. And people ride my car and say, "You a sheriff?" "No, I'm not a sheriff, but I have a badge from the sheriff's department. And it has my picture on it, but it has the sheriff name underneath it." And so it allows me to go to certain places. And, you know, if there's yellow tape at a scene, you know, I can get past the yellow tape because I've got that badge on. Now, it doesn't say my name on there. In big yellow letters, it says sheriff. Somebody else's name, Sheriff Monks. It says sheriff on there. Now, I'm wearing his name, and it allows me to go places. It allows me to get into things. It's the name. There's a name that allows things to happen. When you pray, and when you, let me say it this way. Where in the Bible does it say, pray for the sick? In the New Testament. It doesn't. You get a gold star. What does it say? Heal the sick. Now, doesn't that fly against all of our tradition? I'll pray for you. And, you know, will you come pray for so-and-so? And pray for the sick. Pray for the sick. It's just a normal phrase, right? Totally normal phrase. And I'm not saying it's a wrong phrase. But it doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say we're to pray for the sick. What does it say we're supposed to do? Heal the sick. Did you hear about the guy who got a Pentecostal dog? He said to the dog, "Heal!" And the dog went over and went. So we're supposed to heal the sick. We're supposed to heal the sick. We're not supposed to pray for the sick. Heal the sick. And so what are we doing wrong when we pray for the sick instead of healing the sick? Let's think about this. Let's work on this. You get a gold star. Amen. That was it. That was exactly the answer. We're asking God to do what he gave us the authority and what he told us to do. We are supposed to heal the sick. How God anointed, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Where does sickness come from? The devil. What is Jesus doing? Healing all. Doing good. Doing good and healing those who are oppressed. Sickness is oppression, isn't it? Holds you back. Costs money. Keeps you down. Causes pain. Miserable. Lousy. We don't like it. And so what are we supposed to do? Heal the sick. Healing all who are oppressed of who? The devil. When we ask God to heal the sick, and he's given us the name of Jesus, We're missing it. Let me tell a quick story. When in 1990, when we went to Bible school, we sold our house on Sanchez Avenue in Burlingame. And right around the corner on Drake Avenue, we had bought a house with an equity line, and we had had a couple partners. We'd taken the roof off of it, and we put a second story on it. We built a beautiful white, kind of traditional New England salt box, four-bedroom, three-bath home. Beautiful house. And we put a for sale sign in front of it and went off to Ramah. And I would go for walks in the woods, and I would pray, God, please sell the house. Please sell the house. Please sell the house. God, please sell the house. Please sell the house. And it just felt like this, that I would go, God, please sell the house. Please sell the house. I completely lost that. So, anyways, it just, but the illustration is that I just kept feeling like I was throwing my prayers up to heaven and that they were just bouncing back and that I was just getting nowhere. I prayed that for months. And I had this $3,000 payment that was my payment as my partnership in that thing. And I got down to $9,000 in the bank, and that's all I had. How many more payments do I have? That's it. And then it's foreclosure. I've got nothing. And you can't make money back there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It was just no economy. And so I'm really starting to panic. And I'm on my way to go do some ministry at a rest home. And God says, no, go to the library and pray. Okay. Go to the library, and I prayed for 15 minutes. Nothing. Prayed for a half hour. Nada. An hour. An hour. You know, I mean, that's spiritual. An hour. I prayed for a whole hour. I was proud of myself. Nothing happened. Hour and 15, nothing. An hour and a half. 2 hours. At the 2 hour mark, this is the whopping revelation I get from heaven. I'm not going to sell that house for you. Talk about disappointed. I was really disappointed. But in my head, I was really disappointed. But in my heart, I'm going, oh, you got it. And I could really tell that my heart was happy while my head was just going, ah, you know. And so I was just having this really weird set of emotions until I finally kind of took me about 15 minutes to sort of process this. And I started to kind of get it. Wait a second, if he's not going to sell it, if he's not going to get it done, then obviously I can get it done. And the amazing miracle that happened is that I closed escrow and had the money in the account. Money was wired in the account in 7 days from that moment. I didn't do it. I did, but in the name of Jesus. So what I did is I began burning up the phone. I got on the phone. See, I had been praying, Lord, make. Well, no, in the name of Jesus. I'd been praying in the name of Jesus that my for sale sign would accomplish great signs and wonders. And my for sale sign wasn't doing it. But what happened was immediately after that is I got on the phone and I just started calling anybody and everybody who had anything and anything to do with that house. And we got deals. We got deals going on it. And we got the house sold. We got it sold fast. And I was completely cashed out by a week from that day. Completely cashed out. Save my everything. Save my tail. So the whole thing about this is that what happened was God is saying that I'm not going to do for you what you're supposed to do. Delegated authority. Am I a good boss if I say, Yaya, I want you to find that pen for me? And then I just, Yaya, will you find the pen? Yaya, come on. Find that pen, please. I'm messing with what I've told her to do. What if I asked Yaya to do it, and Yaya said, Brad, just look behind there. And you're telling, Brad, turn it around. Brad, do it this way. Brad, do it that way. Brad, do it the other way. She would be doing exactly what we do when we pray for the sick. I've said, Yaya, get the pen. And so what she says back to me, is look around here, no, look over there, no, do it this way, look clear, find the pen there. We're throwing the ball back and forth with God. And he doesn't change. and we can't manipulate him. We can't. I'm not selling that house for you. Not selling that house for you. Okay, we're to heal the sick. How are we to heal the sick? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, your knee be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, sickness go. We command it with authority. Nope, nope, nope.
God helps those who help themselves.
There was that, more of that. More of that. I'm trying to get God to be a real estate agent, which he's not. Faith is an act. There's God helps. God is. He didn't really tell me to. I knew my job, but what I'm saying is it. What if we all applied for work by sitting in front of the television with the remote with a bag of potato chips? Lord, get me a job in the name of Jesus. I want a job. $100,000 a year. Woo! Glory! Is that how you get a job?
No.
That's not how you get a job, right? What if you're a Christian? What if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? What if you speak in tongues? Is that going to get you the job? No. No. You go and get the job. And you do the job. Right? Okay, so now it comes back to praying for the sick. You heal the sick. You heal the sick. Healing the sick means that you take authority over sickness and you command sickness to leave. Which is very different than talking about my illness. My sore elbow. I have this sore elbow and I have this and this is my bad elbow and my elbow and my. Or is that a work of the devil and you say, I command my elbow to be healed. I command it to be healed. My elbow is healed in the name of Jesus. I command that joint pain to go in the name of Jesus. I command inflammation to leave in the name of Jesus. There's a difference. There's a difference. Smith Wigglesworth illustrates this a little bit. When he came to San Francisco, he was at Glide Memorial Church. Who's the pastor there now? The Reverend Cecil Williams. Yeah. But back in the day, it was quite a church. And Smith Wigglesworth comes to San Francisco. They line up the sick. And this one person comes in there with his doctor. And he is literally on his deathbed. And he's got cancer in his midsection here somewhere. And Wigglesworth is going along in his Cockney accent. And, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? All right, you know, be healed. You know, what's it? Be healed. Be healed. He's going down the line. And what's up with you? Got cancer of the stomach, you know. Or I've got cancer of the stomach. And Wigglesworth goes, all right then. Boom. And punches him like that. I mean, hard. Old school plumber. And I mean, he just goes, boom. Punches the guy in the stomach, and he goes to the next one. What's wrong with you? And this guy just goes down. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm better now. But he just kind of keeps praying on down the line. Well, the doctor examines the person who just got punched and is now on the floor and says, my God, you've killed him. And Wigglesworth doesn't pay any attention to him. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. As he gets a few more people down the row, this guy on the floor stands up. The lump is gone. And he says, I'm healed. I'm healed. And he starts following Wigglesworth. I'm healed. I'm healed. And Wigglesworth looks over his shoulder. Well, praise God then. So what does that illustrate? Sickness is a work of the devil. And who was he punching? He's punching the devil. He's punching demons. You should not talk about my boo-boo. And really, we do sometimes. Another Wigglesworth story. He's in Chicago. I think he's in Chicago. And And the pastor of this church brings him to this wealthy matron of the church, and she has this big house, and she's ill, and so they have Wigglesworth to come in to pray for her, and the first servant opens the main door, and then they go past another servant who opens another door, and then and finally they come back to her quarters where two more servants are there, and there she is propped up on this big bed, all dressed up and ready to receive people, and they bring Wigglesworth in, and he says, "Oh, not pray for her! She's enjoying that thing!" And stomps out. And the pastor of the church, "Oh, oh, he didn't mean that. Oh, 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 please don't be offended. Please, you know, please continue writing those checks. Don't be offended, you know." And wouldn't talk to Wigglesworth. Was so mad at Wigglesworth and wouldn't ride with him in the car, you know, back to the church. But you know, because Wigglesworth is scheduled to speak that night and everybody's coming to hear him, you know, he's just furious. You know, "You just killed my church. You just ruined her budget. She's not coming back." And she comes into that service that night. She said, "What you said was absolutely right. What do I need to do to get healed?" And she got healed in that service. Cool stories. The whole point of it is that we're not to pray for the sick. We are to command healing. Heal the sick. It's an active verb, and that's what we're to do. We've got a few more minutes here. Let's see how far we can go. In the book of Acts, they just go all the way through talking about the name of Jesus. And when Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palm, and this is what Peter did say. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." That's what I have. That's what you have. That's what you're armed with. You are armed with the name. That's what you carry. That's what you've got. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the name of Jesus, and that is your authority. That is your power. That's what you use when you pray. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." It was the name that healed him. Wasn't Peter? Wasn't his holiness? It was the name of Jesus. Can you do this? The answer is yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Peter, a mere mortal, could do it just the same as you and I. Let me tell a story, and we'll close with that. And that's this story. Kenneth Hagin says he had a vision where Jesus appeared to him. This is a story. This isn't the Bible, but I believe it's true, and I believe that it really illustrates a very important Bible truth. And it goes like this, that Jesus appears to him, and Jesus is talking to him about authority and how to deal with the devil. And as Jesus is speaking to Kenneth Hagin, a demon begins to run in between them and make a whole lot of noise and say, "Yakety, yakety, yakety," and just make a whole bunch of noise and start to create a smoke screen so that he can't even see Jesus. And so he sees in this vision, he's talking to Jesus, and then this little monkey is making all this noise, and Jesus continues to talk. Jesus doesn't wait. He continues to talk while this is going on. And Kenneth Hagin is, doesn't he know that I can't understand him? Doesn't he know I'm not getting this? But he continues to speak, but it's not getting through. And so Kenneth Hagin, out of frustration, says, "In the name of Jesus, stop!" And the little monkey goes, and then he says, "And in the name of Jesus, get out of here!" And the monkey, and off he went. Jesus then says, "If you hadn't done that, I couldn't have." And Jesus, and then Kenneth Hagin says to him, "Maybe I didn't hear you right. You wouldn't have, or you couldn't have?" Jesus says, "I couldn't have." And he went on to explain to him, "The reason why I couldn't have is because I have delegated authority to the church. Here on the earth, the use of my name belongs to the church and to God's people. to human beings here on the earth, to Christians, we are the ones with the right to use his name. He is not being a bad boss and taking back what he has already delegated. It is delegated, it's here, it's yours. I'm not selling your house for you. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you fast, no matter what you're doing, I'm not doing that for you. You're doing it. You're the ones getting the job done. Many times nothing happens because Christians don't use their authority or don't pray. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, if you hadn't done that, I couldn't have. Huge theological point. Theologians have written about that and talked about that at great length after that came out, because it really illustrates a very important biblical principle. And it really explains a lot about what's working and what's not working. What we're going to do here is we're going to use our authority and we're going to say, in the name of Jesus, stuff change. Last story. The Washington, D.C. sniper. How was he caught? Killed something like 16 people or however many people. Terrorized that whole area for a long time. How was he caught? He was caught because a Christian truck driver had been in a prayer group, and he was a prayer group leader, and they had been praying about that situation for a while. And that morning, they really got serious about praying about that. He was listening to the radio, and he was just saying, in the name of Jesus, this guy get caught, you know. And they really prayed hard about this. He was listening to the radio. They had been looking for a white van. Now they're looking for, I think it was a blue sedan, and they had the descriptions of the two males that they were looking for in this blue sedan. And he pulls into a truck stop, and there's the blue sedan, and there are the two guys sleeping in the back, or sleeping in the seats. And he sees them. He calls it in. He says, "I think I've got your car. The exact description of the car is right here. The exact description of the people is right here." And they said, "Yeah, this, and this." And he says, "Yep, that, and that. And he said, "Well, I can block the parking lot with my big rig." And they said, "Please do." And so he blocks the parking lot with his big rig, and pretty soon, you know, dun 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 dun, you know, and all the helicopters fly in, and you know, every FBI and CIA and LMNOP come, you know, racing up, and they throw a flashbang grenade, and they, you know, do everything they can do and arrest the guys. The Christian prayed. The Christian prayed. And then God used him. We need to take our authority. We need to take our authority. The more we do, the better our world will be, the better a lot of things will be. And so let's stand up. God said to me, "I'm not selling that house for you." So there's some things that we've got to do. There's some things that we've got to take authority over. And then we step out. We walk them out. We walk them out. When I was a loan agent, I used to pray for loans, and you know, and then, but I had to go out and I would have to go out and get the loans. It was cold call selling and I had to go do it. But I would pray a lot. Then I would get in my car and go. So it's the same thing here. We're praying a lot, but then we've got to, there's a lot of times there's some actual action that has to accompany what we say and how we pray. Some actual get it done kind of stuff. But you do it with the anointing and with the power of God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to any sickness and we command it to go. We command every sickness to leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command every sickness to go. We command sickness to leave in the name of Jesus. First, we command sickness to leave our bodies. We command sickness to get out of our bodies. We command pain, joint pain. We command muscle pain. We command any of those things to go in the name of Jesus. We command any blood disorders to go in the name of Jesus. Any digestive problems to go in the name of Jesus. Anything that's not right, be changed, be fixed in the name of Jesus. Everything works right. Everything works right in the name of Jesus. Our bodies function perfectly. Our bodies are pain-free in the name of Jesus. Functioning properly in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke lack. We rebuke financial problems. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devourer. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all financial problems go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, finances come in. In the name of Jesus, our bills are paid. In the name of Jesus, our debts are removed. Our debts are paid off in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, our cars work perfectly. Our cars work well in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rents are paid. Bills are paid. Everything is paid in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, relationships work right. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, everybody get along. In the name of Jesus, favor. In the name of Jesus, forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, everybody work well. Everybody gets along in the family. Everybody gets along at work. Everybody gets along in that situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak protection over our kids, protection over our family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And for our friends. For our friends, we speak the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, our friends, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed completely. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Judy, we take my hand. We're just going to pray about that one situation for our friend.
Okay.
So in the name of Jesus, be healed.
In the name of
Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. We have a mutual friend and we say that in the name of Jesus, she's healed. In the name of Jesus, she's healed. She's healed in the name of Jesus. And we command all sickness to be removed and that she is completely healed in the name of Jesus. Devil, get away from her. Get away from her body in the name of Jesus. And we call her completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What would you do if everybody got healed? How would you act? How would you act if everybody got healed? How would you act if all your bills got paid? How would you act if you believed it? How would you act? How would you act? That you'd have reason to rejoice. You'd have reason to rejoice. You'd have reason to rejoice. You'd be rejoicing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you believe it, you rejoice. You give God thanks. You give Him praise. You give Him glory. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Glory to God. Glory to God. I can see you. But what if? What if? What if? But what about? You know? But I have all these questions. So, do you believe? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. There were lots of things that I saw in the Bible. I saw that they're true. I still had some questions, but I chose to believe it. You just choose to believe it. The questions get answered. You can still have a brain, and you can still keep seeking those answers. You can write down all your questions, and you'll get your questions answered. But you got to choose to believe. Is this truth? This is truth. This is the Bible. We're not messing with it. We're just teaching it. We're reading the Bible. And we're not pushing it. We're just reading it and we're taking it. I can answer every one of your questions or I can show you where the answers are. I'm not afraid of the questions. We can talk about your questions afterwards and write down your questions, put them in, email them to me, bring them to me. Let's get all the questions answered. And sometimes the answers aren't completely satisfactory. But start with believing it. You got to take it at face value. And if you do, then you begin to rejoice. You get to get happy. Why does the gospel work so well with simple, primitive cultures? They just believe it. They take your word at it. They haven't been lied to. They haven't seen a lot of infomercials. When my son first learned how to turn on the television by himself and was getting up before us, and he was like 3 or 4 years old, and he was getting out to the television, he was turning on Zaboomafoo by himself, and he was watching Zaboomafoo and a couple of other little kids' programs, but then those infomercials would come on. And he would just come in, and he was so cute. Oh, 3-year-old voice. If you get this pasta maker, you gotta get the pasta maker. It's 1995, and it just makes perfect pasta. And it's just big eyes, and he was so cute. And he just, you have to get the pasta maker. So he'd never been lied to. He'd never been lied to. And that's how the primitive cultures get healed. You know, take God at His word. Childlike faith. Jesus put a child in their midst and said, this is it. Childlike faith. Write down your questions. We'll get them answered. We'll satisfy that part. But have the faith of a child and you'll get results.